Okay, thank you very much. So we're on to the second and last oral argument of today. Case number 20-50440, Fanning v. City of Shibano Park, Texas. And we'll begin with counsel for Fanning. Is it Najvar?
Navar.
Navar. Okay. Mr. Navar.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. So, as you know, appellant has a motion to remand that's been carried with the case, and in light of the city's brief, our position on that has sort of changed, or you know, the need for remand I think is gone. As we say in our brief, at least with respect to the claims under the original code, and I believe also with respect to the prospective claims as well.
Okay, how does the fact that the Supreme Court has now granted cert in the Reagan case how does that fit into all of this?
Well, Reagan, I don't believe it affects us because the issue in Reagan is whether the on versus off premises distinction renders Austin sign code content based. That's the issue that the court granted cert on. That's all that the city's arguing. And the city, throughout our briefing in this case, Fanning has argued that regardless of the level of scrutiny, the city has not met their burden here because they've not ventured any reasons to defend any of the distinctions that we've identified in Shibano Park sign code. So in other words, I mean, this is a First Amendment case. It's not some kind of rational basis, you know, challenge to an optometrist economic regulation, right? Whatever the level of scrutiny is, the city of Shibano Park has the burden under the First Amendment to explain why it bans banner signs, for instance, versus flags under the new code, or why it bans banner signs but allows this exception for, other types of banners.
But if it bans all banners, or bans all flags, or bans all anything, then how is it content-based?
Well, so if we're talking about, the question I think goes to the amended ordinance, because Shibano Park took out this exception for this window of time during October, right? So they said, well, all banners are now banned going forward. But they also, in that amendment, for the first time, they've included this generous allowance for flags. You can have up to 3 flagpoles and put non-commercial flags, it says, in front of your home in Shibano Park, right? You can have up to 160 square feet of flags, but now they've completely banned banners. So you can have a United Nations-type display of flags in your front yard in Shibano Park all year long, but you can't put up a banner for a 4th of July party for 2 or 3 days, which is what my client has
done.
But
that's not content-based.
Well, our argument is that it is content-based because it favors a particular type of, that there's no, essentially the argument in the brief is that that the flags are a type of banner. So they're allowing you to put in the practical effects of the flag allowance now allows a particular type of banner that are, you know.
No, but now wait a minute. Could she fly a flag that says "Come to our 4th of July party"?
Well, I think she probably could.
So again, back to Judge Haynes' question: how is the prohibition on all banners content based?
She could, but with respect to the facial claims, the court has to address the code on its face. She wants to put up a flag regarding the 4th of July, but if the ordinance is at issue on its face, you have to look at the fact that it also bans non-commercial flags. These flags, there's no content limitation except for they can't be commercial flags or they can't draw attention to a business. So it's not just advertising a business, and we discussed this in the briefing, but it's anything that draws attention to a business would not fall under that residential flag exception. So if she wanted to put up a flag or somebody in Shibano Park that says, you know, leave Facebook and join Parler, right, which a lot of conservatives did a few months ago because of censorship on Facebook, that would draw attention to a business, Parler, which is a commercial enterprise, and would be banned under that.
But we're getting pretty hypothetical on that point. I don't know if that's related to a business versus political speech. And I mean, the fact is none of that is at issue, right? I mean, in other words, whether she could fly the Golden Arches flag at her house versus come to my 4th of July party is probably more apropos, but that's That's the classic distinction between commercial speech and other. But help me with something. I will say this, in true confession, I'm not a First Amendment lawyer. I was a civil litigator when I practiced law. So I may just be, I want you to help guide my thinking here just to clarify what's at issue. So they amend the ordinance at some point after she's asserted her claims, correct? And so now instead of this ban, except for the 1 week, which happens to be the night out on crime, so set aside her claims about the prior statute. Is the amended statute even at issue here? In other words, has she alleged prospectively under the amended ordinance in this case that she's going to be harmed because of the total ban, or is that amended statute irrelevant here?
Well, no, it's absolutely at issue. And this is, so the standard is stated in the Northeastern Florida case, which we've cited in the brief. When the relevant law is changed during the course of an appeal,
okay.
The court still has authority to address it if the plaintiff is essentially injured in the same way. Or it doesn't have to be the exact same way. There's a Fifth Circuit case we cite from 2021 where they actually acknowledge that the plaintiffs were acknowledged in a lesser were injured to a lesser degree, but the case was not moot because it was...
Couldn't we find it not ripe because we don't know how her situation, why she isn't putting up flags that say, you know, because her issue never, I don't recall her raising some issue about wanting to do commercial banners. She wanted to do banners about parties that she was having.
Well, no,
so if she were to do a flag that says, come to my party, that would be okay under the amended order. So isn't it not right for us to start addressing how her life might have changed by the amended ordinance?
Well, no, Your Honor, we don't believe that because, and it's record page 751 is her deposition testimony where she talks about, you know, the intent. There's several places in her deposition, but record 751 is a good place. 751 is where she talks about wanting to put multiple signs up, different types of signs. Well, it's also, okay, so all of her allegations of future intent, her desire to put these banners up is also at 751. So she says specifically in the deposition, I want to put a banner up in my yard, I want to put banners up in other neighbors' yards with their permission.
But again, I thought she was talking about she wanted to do it around the 4th of July, not in the first week of October or whatever that date range was. In other words, she was talking in the context of the prior ordinance, not the amended ordinance. I mean,
well, that's right. But the way I understand Northeastern Florida and the relevant case law, which we've cited again another case from the Fifth Circuit in our brief on that, as long as the plaintiff is injured in substantially the same way.
Yes, but how do we know she is? That's our question. Because, like I said, it seems to me a flag is high up in the air. It's easier. It's actually more likely to be seen waving around. We've come to my 4th of July party than a banner that's lower down or a yard sign that's even further down.
Well, it may be, but it costs. I mean, you have to put a flagpole up. The city's flag, you know, allowance allows flags that are put on a flagpole. You have to insert a flagpole, which may mean, you know, you have to.
But we don't know what that's, you know, how expensive that is for her, how much that would cause her problems, how much, because she wants to put them in the HOA yard. We don't know if the HOA yard has flagpoles. I mean, so all of that is relevant, interesting information that we're not in a very good position to do because we're not district court. So why wouldn't we just say the amended ordinance is, you know, not ripe yet because we don't know the facts, and then we deal with the original one, and then tell me why we do. What is left other than she wants the signs back, I guess, that they have in their closet. But assuming arguendo that they said, all right, we'll hand them over, what else is she looking for from the past?
Well, let me go back to where I started then, because as I said, our motion to remand has been carried with the case. We filed a motion to remand, especially the prospective claims, and we said exactly what Your Honor's getting to. That, you know, this was amended after the notice of appeal was filed, or at least my client wasn't notified or aware of it until after we filed the appeal. So we haven't had the chance to amend our pleadings or, you know, if the city wants additional evidence in the record to defend themselves, I mean, they haven't said that in their brief, and that's why I sort of back away from the motion to remand, because I think the court can, you have the authority to declare the complete ban on banner signs in the amended ordinance unconstitutional.
Well, but I think Judge Haynes and I are getting to the same point, and she said it better than I. The ripeness issue, this strikes me a challenge to a wholesale ban on banners is different than the challenge she asserted and litigated below, which was the challenge to the timing of when the banners could be put up. In other words, they allowed this 1 week. It wasn't the 4th of July week. And so she was challenging what, you know, again, she argues is a content-based restriction on speech. You can only post neighborhood night out banners, not the other. It strikes me as a different claim altogether that she's challenging a wholesale ban on banners and saying that basically the city can't do that. That's a totally different challenge to me. Tell me how I'm wrong.
Well, I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but I'm saying she's injured in substantially the same way in that she's prevented from putting out the banner signs that she wants to put out every 4th of July, right? She still is disallowed from doing that. Now, the amended ordinance changes the legal arguments. There are new distinctions that are relevant to our argument, and the flag is one that we pointed out, but there's also a few weeks after the ordinance was amended, the city also passed this special exception for COVID-related business, or the language of it says the city manager can allow businesses and business districts to put up COVID-related messages on banners. So if the city, and again, it doesn't matter what level of scrutiny we're under.
Let me ask it this way. If we were to simply affirm, we just enter an opinion that says affirm, is there anything that would prevent her from suing about the amended statute going forward? I realize we could say things in an opinion that might affect it, but I'm just saying if we just wrote affirm, then that would address the original code, but would it address anything about the amended?
So, the district court has not spoken on the amended code.
Well, because the claim wasn't asserted. Courts aren't supposed to reach claims that aren't asserted before the court.
Well, that's right, and I'm trying to just walk through this.
What I'm saying is, if it wasn't right, then she's got the cause of action. She can file it and go forward with it. Maybe it has merit, maybe it doesn't. Maybe Reagan from the Supreme Court tells the family. I'm not saying it would have validity. I'm just saying I'm not sure why we're addressing something that isn't before us.
Well, you have a request to remand, right?
Well, that's right, Your Honor, and I'm not demanding that you do. I mean, we have our motion to remand on file, and that was our initial argument, and we argued pretty clearly with a lot of case law from this circuit that said your preference, this circuit's preference when something like this happens, when there's an amendment to the relevant law, is to send it back to the district court.
Okay, let me ask you, if we don't want to address the amended code, we just want to address the original code, I guess she's still seeking damages. What exactly is left of the original code given the amendment?
Well, I'll address that, and if I may just complete a thought on with respect to if to your question of if you were to just affirm the claims regarding the amended code, I think that would be
the original code.
If you were to just affirm the judgment,
there were
no
claims on
right.
The amended code.
That's right. Okay, so right, she could still refile another lawsuit, but that's unfair to Fanning. It's a mootness analysis. The city's argument is mootness. They have the burden to prove that. If this court doesn't want to address it, you should send it back to the district court. Otherwise, my client has to pay another filing fee and start the whole process over. Whereas, you know, it might go to a different judge. If you remand it.
That might be good for her.
Well, it might, but.
Tell me on the original code what's left.
So there's a claim for nominal damages, of course, but there's also the equitable claim for return of her banner signs. And there are four banner signs that she testified she had professionally printed for this rain check party.
Do they have them still?
My understanding is the city has them. I have not been notified.
I'm just clueless why you would have this lengthy litigation and not just give those back.
We've asked for them since we filed the complaint.
Said no?
Nobody has, made any other offer otherwise.
Well, I think your opponent knows what my first question is going to be on that.
Well,
because that just makes no sense to me. I don't know why they want to hang on to these banners. Wow, this is changing our lives, having these banners around about this 4th of July party from 3 years ago. I mean,
right. And
there's no logic to that to me. It's not the same thing as I'm holding on to money or something like that.
No, I think probably they did it because they wanted to defend the original ordinance. They didn't want my client to win the case and have the right to put her banners up for the 4th of July. So.
But having the banners back doesn't necessarily mean where she can put them. She could put them inside her house, you know, so there's places she could put them. So that's why I just don't understand them not returning them, but that's fine. You have 23 seconds left.
Thank you, Your Honor. And so the last thing I wanted to say is with respect to if you do address the amended code, my client, Judge Rodriguez, missed a part. He has a footnote where he says, you know, based on her testimony, she didn't clearly testify that she wanted to put up more than one sign at a time that would not otherwise be allowed by the one sign allowance. And I think she did clearly testify to that at page 751 of the record, where she says, and this is in our briefing multiple times, but where she clearly says, I want to put up a banner and a yard sign at the same time in her yard. So that puts the rest of the sign code in issue. And I see my time is up, so I'll...
Yeah, you've reserved time for rebuttal. Thank you, Mr. Navar.
Good morning, Your Honors. Charles Frigerio representing the Appalachian City of Chavanel Park, and our city manager, Mr. Bill Hill, is here also. We are here, Your Honor, specifically on two ordinances that Judge Rodriguez ruled on. The one I'd like to call the 60-day ordinance, because that is the 6-foot square sign that you can have on your property for a period of 60 days in a calendar year, and the banner sign. The banner sign, the judge ruled on that Ms. Fanning had standing, but she did not have standing on the 60-day sign, because those are the signs that were put in the median and on easements. It weren't actually placed on her property. And you could not, those come under the heading of the city calls bandit signs, where signs are illegally placed on property that a person doesn't belong to.
Didn't she say she had permission from the owners?
She said she had permission, but the signs that we're talking about, the one was placed back where she said she had permission. The three others were in the median. It weren't in anybody, it was the homeowner's property or the city property, but it wasn't a homeowner where she alleged had permission.
And those are the ones you still have?
I believe there's a question about a banner sign. I'd be happy to, that's the first I've heard about it, but I'm sure that the city would be happy to give her the banner
sign. It's the first you've heard about? He said he's been asking for it.
They asked me, I've been litigating it.
Okay, well, it makes no sense to me why y'all are still hanging on to these signs. It's not like they're illegal drugs or
right.
Their money that benefits you all or whatever. I mean, so unless there's some reason
I agree.
You haven't told me, give them back.
Right, I agree.
That's just logic.
Right.
Right,
I agree.
Now, what else would be left of the original ordinance? Assuming arguendo, you went home and immediately gave the signs back, the banners back. What else is left? I realize they're seeking damages. I'm trying to understand what that is.
So.
Which I respect, I understand that keeps it alive, but besides a dollar, you give them a dollar in the signs, what else are they looking for?
Well, again, with regard to the 60-day sign, I believe that's, as far as Judge Rodriguez's ruling, she doesn't have standing. So we're really talking about the banner sign, because he divided it into two sections on his motion for summary judgment. So the banner sign is where Judge Rodriguez held that he held that it was subject to strict scrutiny. I respectfully would disagree with Judge Rodriguez that I believe it was content neutral is what we pled. And the fact that you can have a banner sign the first week in October doesn't mean it's content based.
Yeah, but counsel, golly, you don't have the 4th of July in October. You have neighborhood night out, and you've got the sheriff or the police chief or whomever it was who took the sign saying, well, this doesn't relate to neighborhood night out, I'm taking it up. How is the timing issue not equivalent to content-based regulation of speech?
Because during that week, you could have, that month is also cancer awareness.
It's not Easter, it's not Christmas, it's not the 4th of July, it's not Memorial Day, it's not Labor Day.
But you can have any banner.
Neighborhood night out.
Anything. It doesn't have to say neighborhood.
Well, but Ms. Fanning couldn't say, come to my 4th of July party in 7 or 8, 9 months, could she? How is it not content-based? I'm having a hard time seeing how the district court got strict scrutiny wrong, because I'm having a hard time seeing how picking this one week where only one message is really going to be conveyed is not content-based.
And again, Your Honor, I would submit because during that one week in October, you can have any content on the banner.
Why did the city make the one week exception when it did?
That was their choice.
But why?
I'm saying, but it wasn't content-based because the content of the banner can be anything. They're granted the city is promoting this National Night Out, but they're not discriminating against any other idea.
But the problem is they're promoting the Neighborhood Night Out. And look, I'm all in favor of Neighborhood Night Out. I was head of an HOA once who did all kind of good stuff on Neighborhood Night Out. But the fact is they're promoting one set of speech, and they're basically shutting down a lot of other speech.
And
how's that not content-based?
What I would assert, Your Honor, is that in reading Town of Gilbert, and then there's three different cases, Ward versus Rock Against Racism, and a few other cases that Judge Rodriguez cited. The Supreme Court in that case said it will be considered content-based and subject to strict scrutiny if it cannot be justified without reference to the content of the regulated speech. And I'm saying here, you can have any banner you want, it's just going to be in the first week of October, or which Judge Rodriguez actually held the subtle exception. But the subtle exception says, or if it was adopted by the government because of a disagreement with the message conveyed. And that isn't here. There's no disagreement with the message conveyed because you can have any message you want. The three cases that go under the special exception that Judge Rodriguez cited, one was Sorrell versus IMS Health. And that was a Vermont statute that specifically, the Supreme Court held it violated the First Amendment because you were specifically stating that there was the data miners were seeking information from doctors' prescriptions. And they specifically said that information could not be given to any marketing people. It could be given, it was actually given to different colleges, but it could not be given in marketing, couldn't be sold. And they held because you were really in effect, what you were doing was you were discriminating against, the marketers, prescription marketers of a generic brand prescriptions. The second case is U.S. versus Eichmann, but that case is also a case where there's explicit content-based, it's a flag-burning case. And at issue there was the government's statute, and Eichmann was clear that the governmental interest is related to the suppression of expression, the burning of the flag. So they held that was a violation. But on the other hand, Ward versus Rock Against Racism was where the court held that it was a neutral time, place, and manner restriction by the fact that you're putting a decibel level on what these different bands could be playing. So you weren't saying you couldn't have a rock band or you couldn't have a country music band. It was deployed evenly based on a decibel system. And in this case, Your Honor, I assert that it's 1 week out of the year. It's not discriminating against anybody else. It's not meant to go after another form of speech, and it's not discriminating against another form of speech. It's just allowing the speech during that time.
What if it chose the week of December 21st? Would that be seen as promoting Christmas and not promoting other religions, or?
I don't think so. I think you could pick any week out of the 52 weeks.
Week that everybody else would connect with.
Yes.
A religious holiday, and that'd be. Okay.
As far as banners, because you're not constricting what you can put on the banner. You can put anything you want on the banner for that 1 week.
Okay. Let me ask you about the Reagan case. What difference, if any, do you think does it make that the Supreme Court has now granted cert on that?
It does make a difference to this extent because of aesthetics. Judge Rodriguez, our case, quite frankly, is that the only one that holds aesthetics can be a compelling interest under strict scrutiny. And he felt that because of the preamble in section 24-1 of the ordinance, which spells out specifically what the city of Chavano Park is about. It's about a city living with country charm, and it's a certified scenic city. And they try to promote that in all their ordinances. So Judge Rodriguez held that, yes, I looked at it. I believe it's strict scrutiny, but I think they've met their strict scrutiny analysis by the aesthetics of this ordinance. So to that extent,
how does that explain the flag? If aesthetic, if you're trying to just kind of limit how much stuff there is in people's yards everywhere, then how does these massive flags do that?
Well, one, that's not really before the court right now.
Well, that's a question.
And two, typically, I guess when you're talking about a flag, you would think about it, the American flag or whatever, in a small community. We're talking about, you know, 3,800 people and 3.2 square miles. I don't think it really clutters up to have something on a flagpole as opposed to having a banner across perhaps a garage, or in this particular case, you know, it was a banner across the entrance of a homeowners association. And that's, to some degree, ironic in that it was Mrs. Fanning's placing of signs on other people's property that really led us to where we are today, even though, you know, she
says the homeowners association would let her if there wasn't an ordinance.
Well, the issue that brought us here was when the homeowners president called the city manager and complained that the sign was up. Subsequently, you know, the administrations change in homeowners associations, and then years later, there's been a talk, there was a, in the record,
but if that was fear of the homeowner association being charged with a violation of an ordinance, they would have a concern. But if there was no ordinance, then she says they never had a concern.
Well, no, the homeowner's president called the city manager and complained about it and actually asked the city manager to enforce it. That's what led to this.
Okay, but that's because they were concerned about the ordinance, according to her. I mean, so again, if that's a fact issue, we have to take her version of the facts.
Well, and she didn't even know about that conversation. It's a subsequent year when she talked to a different homeowners association president who said, well, we're not going to allow you to put it up because of the ordinance. That's the fact issue with regard to there. But with this initially about the banner, she didn't have the permission to put it up. She put it up, and the homeowners association president didn't want it up. And that's why they asked the city to take it down. And quite frankly, that's why we originally raised standing on that issue also, even as to the banner signs. Because again, it's putting up signs on a homeowner's property that she didn't have acknowledgement to do. She didn't have authority to do that. And that's what led to this elongated litigation, quite frankly.
What's your position on the motion to remand since there's changes in the fact and the law in this case?
I think, Your Honor, that it's moot at this point. The banner sign, now there is no banner sign ordinance. But with regard to Judge Rodriguez's ruling, we would ask to be affirmed as to both. There's only two issues. The one is the 60-day ordinance. We said she did not have standing. And two is the banner sign, which we would urge the court to either to affirm on other grounds, being that it was not content-based, or to affirm it on Judge Rodriguez's ruling that even if it is content-based, that strict scrutiny has been met by, as Judge Rodriguez pointed out, the preamble in Section 24.1 and the facts of the case as to the city of Chavano Park.
So you don't think the district judge needs to reevaluate this?
No, Your Honor, I do not. But I do think
she is prevented from, if we just wrote an opinion that just said affirm, and everybody went home, is she prevented from suing on the amended ordinance?
No, not at all.
Okay, so that would just be the future, whatever that is.
Yes.
Could she amend this complaint?
Well, if the court affirms the judgment, that would be the end of this particular litigation, and she'd have to file a new with regard to the amended ordinance.
So it would have to be remanded to have an amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any reason we should wait for the Reagan decision? I realize that our law is we continue to apply our cases unless and until the Supreme Court actually reverses it. I know that, but I also know we have the discretion or the power to wait, which is, I don't like waiting, but I'm just asking, should we?
I would request the court, depending on the ruling on the banner, if you feel it's content-based, and if aesthetics is really going to be the issue as to whether or not it has to meet strict scrutiny, then we need to wait for what the Supreme Court case does in Austin, because in that case they said that aesthetics cannot be a compelling interest under strict scrutiny, at least from a commercial standpoint. But again, I would ask the court to affirm this judgment based on the fact that it's not content-based. And I again would argue that whatever week you pick out of the 52 weeks out of the year, if that's all you pick is that week, and you don't specify anything else, and as long as anything can be written on that banner through that one week, that that's not content-based.
Anything else?
No, Your Honor. Thank you very much. And we'd ask for your affirmed Judge Rodriguez's summary judgment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Navar, you reserve time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you. Just to pick up the last question first on Reagan and whether the court should wait, I don't think it certainly is not necessary to wait, and I don't think it's prudent to wait either because, as I said before, the issue in Reagan does not control this case. It's whether on versus off premises signs is necessarily
content. You know, the Supreme Court just sometimes starts to write, and it isn't always super limited what they write. And y'all both addressed Reagan in the briefing to us, so I don't know. The fact that now suddenly Reagan is irrelevant seems a little funny to me.
Well, they do, but I think the everything Your Honor said is true, of course, but. If Reagan comes out and impacts anything in this case, if the case is remanded, Judge Rodriguez can take that into consideration. All this court really has to do in this case, in light of the city's failure to make any defense whatsoever, any explanation of why this, whether, you know, the temporal period for the National Night Out banners in October is not content-based or otherwise is justified.
Well, but counsel opposite says it's not content-based, that they can pick any week of the year. But back to Judge Haynes' point about Reagan and what counsel opposite had just said, so if we effectively get down into Judge Rodriguez's analysis and we agree with you that there's strict scrutiny here because it's content-based, right? Then the whole question seems to hinge on what the Supreme Court says as to whether aesthetics can be a compelling interest, as Judge Rodriguez found, right? So how is that not very potentially dispositive based on what the Supreme Court does?
Well, at least on the record and the arguments now in this case, Your Honor, the city has made no showing that would satisfy even rational basis review in an economic case. They
aesthetics.
Well, okay, so maybe the hypothetical was a little too far because in a non-First Amendment case, the court can sometimes hypothesize some rationale that the city doesn't even argue. You can't do that in a First Amendment case.
It's the small town city with a country charm. I mean, it's aesthetics.
Well, okay, so that's the sum and total of what the city has said in this case, to defend its entire code. It hasn't made any distinctions. It hasn't made any defense or explanation or attempted justification for the distinctions that have to be defended.
With signs, I mean, why don't we have 1,000 billboards on every street? It's because it gets a little junky, and so that's aesthetics.
Well, okay, but right, but so as to Fanning's claims about banner signs, the city has said nothing to justify a ban on banners when other signs are allowed. You know, they allow for sale signs, they allow campaign regular type signs, any other type of material.
But there's regulation on those signs as well, right? I mean, the campaign signs go up 60 days before the election or something like that?
Well, there are, right. So the city can regulate as to materials, whether it's backlit or not, whether it has moving parts, things like that.
Right.
But I would submit to the court that any of those cases that you look at where those kind of regulations have been upheld, there's a First Amendment challenge against it, and the court says, well, the city has at least made an explanation as to why moving parts on signs in a residential area, you know, take away from the country charm of the city. Like, they haven't made any argument even here about why a banner sign is particularly damaging to the country charm of Chavano Park, and that's the problem. So even under intermediate scrutiny, they made no sufficient defense. And all the court need to say here is, you know, reverse the judgment and remand. Remand as to the new claims under the amended ordinance, I don't believe any remand is necessary under the old ordinance.
Okay, but I just want to understand, if they say aesthetics is our reason, then we're supposed to dig in and say, well, we think banners are very pretty. I mean, that seems a little bit like putting us in a position we're not supposed to be in. We're not supposed to be sitting around ruling on that kind of thing, are we?
Well, no.
That is what cities decide. We think this is important, that's not important, blah, 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 blah. Our goal is just to make sure, you know, it complies with the Constitution, not to get into, well, we think it's not a very pretty city anyway, or it is a very pretty city.
Well, no, right, but what the court has to address is the specific claims and the facts in the case, right? And so if you're talking about the 2018, the old ordinance, the court would have to find some reason why the city of Chavano Park has sufficiently explained why banners are so damaging to the city that they have to be banned year-round, but they're not so damaging during this one particular time period. And to go to Judge Wilson's question, you know, earlier, the reason Chavano Park hasn't met that burden is because there's nothing during that 1 week period in particular that raises a heightened concern with banners. You know, let's say like we were in the Philippines and it was monsoon season during that 2 week period in October, and we say, and the city in the Philippines can say, well, there's no paper signs can be posted in the first 2 weeks of October. That would be, if that's the parameters of that time period are tied to some actual reason, then that makes sense. But in Chavano Park, you can't just say no banners except for this one period of time. And the record reflects on page 408 that it's not just circumstantially related to National Night Out because it occurs during that time period. The city officials, including the police chief, put in the report, number one reason that banner was removed in 2018 was because it was, quote, not related to National Night Out. That's how they understand it. It's not just based on the temporal period. They wrote that period to allow National Night Out banners.
Okay, well, thank you. I think we have your argument. We appreciate both sides. The case is under submission, and you all are excused. And we have concluded for the day, and we will begin again tomorrow at 9:00.